Gifts. Written by Victorian Sexstash and read by K-Burb. This is a Star Trek fic, rated teen and up audiences, in which the creator chose not to use archive warnings. It features the relationship between Kirk/Spock, as well as the characters of McCoy and Amanda Grayson.
Boy, you got a friend in me. Yeah, you got a friend in me. Got a friend in me. You got a friend in me.
Spock was worrying, which normally Vulcans did not do, but Spock reasoned that in this instance, he had a logical reason to worry, so he accepted it. The holiday season was here, and Spock needed to get Jim a gift. Spock's mother, Amanda, had insisted on celebrating Hanukkah when he was a child, despite his father's protestations.
He's my child too, Sarek, and deserves to know about both his heritages.
Spock remembered lighting the candles on the menorah on all 8 nights of the occasion, and receiving a gift on each one. Although he would never admit it to his father, Spock secretly loved the holiday. Jim had been pleasantly surprised when Spock mentioned the ritual.
No way, I'm Jewish too. Funny how that works, huh?
Then, on the last week of term at Starfleet Academy, when all the students were due to go home for the holiday season, Spock was taken by surprise as Jim called to him from across the courtyard, sprinting merrily toward him. His cheeks and nose were stung bright pink by the cold, but there was a sparkle in his hazel eyes behind his rectangular frames.
"Glad I found you,"
said Jim, breathing heavily. His warm breath came out in white puffs.
"I know it's early, but I just couldn't wait any longer."
He held out a package wrapped in brown paper.
"Happy Hanukkah, Spock."
"Hanukkah does not begin for 2 more weeks, Jim," said Spock in surprise.
"That's why I said it was early," Jim laughed.
"Well, go ahead, open it." Spock took the package. Clearly, it contained something soft inside, most likely made of fabric, from the human's outstretched hand. He slowly, neatly, painstakingly peeled away the clear tape, sealing the paper with his fingernails.
"You know, most people just rip presents open.
That is wasteful and destructive."
"It's just paper, Spock," Jim chuckled.
"And it's recyclable. I thought you'd appreciate that." Spock finally opened the end of the parcel and stuck his hand inside and pulled out.
"I thought it would look good with your complexion," said Jim.
"And it's made of the softest yarn I could find, so it'll feel good against your skin. And it's very warm.
It'll keep you nice and toasty in this cold weather."
Spock stared at the comely, dark green sweater in his hand speechlessly. The soft knit under his fingertips was indeed luxurious, and it struck Spock how thoughtful it was of Jim to worry about him being cold.
"It is somewhat larger than my size," he stammered.
Spock internally cringed. He had meant to thank Jim, not criticize his beautiful, considerate gift. Jim just laughed.
"It's supposed to be. Everyone knows that sweaters are best when worn baggy."
I have nothing for you," Spock murmured.
"You don't have to get me anything," Jim shrugged.
"Friends don't owe friends anything." Spock looked at him, and in that moment, he felt warmer from Jim's kind words and glowing smile than any article of clothing ever could make him feel. Spock knew of only one other person on campus who was as close to Jim as he was, so he sought him out for valuable information.
"You want a what?"
Leonard McCoy, Jim's roommate, said in shock.
"Give Jim a present," Spock said.
He was wearing his new, treasured green sweater for the 3rd day in a row and had developed a habit of crossing his arms over his chest in an X shape, as if hugging himself whenever he wore it.
"Jim has given me such an exquisite gift. and I must reciprocate. You must help me think of something to give him. Hell, Spock. I don't even know what I'm getting Jim. You want me to think of a gift for you to give him now, too? This is of extreme importance, Leonard, Spock said insistently. He pushed a piece of his long hair back behind his ear. I must show Jim that I cherish him as a friend, that I appreciate his camaraderie and wish to return that sentiment. Friendship, as I understand it, is a connection of give and take. Am I correct? McCoy sighed heavily and rolled his eyes.
You could give him a book.
Jim already has so many books.
Okay, what about a new pair of boots?
That is not personal enough.
I don't fucking know then, Spock, McCoy growled. You want to get him something personal? Make him a goddamn mixtape.
Spock blinked. What is a mixed tape? McCoy sighed again. Then he patiently explained an old Earth tradition of people compiling music files for each other.
The songs you pick reflect how you feel about Jim and your friendship, he explained.
But nearly any piece of music can easily be accessed on our pads. Will Jim not find this present useless?
Spock, you could give Jim an old gum wrapper, and he'd cherish it because you gave it to him.
Spock was silent for a moment. Thank you, Leonard. You have helped me greatly in this matter. He rose from his seat and left the room.
Bones sighed. Now what am I gonna get, Jimmy boy?
Huh, that boot idea actually wasn't half bad. Spock carefully considered what songs to put on his mixed tape. At first, he thought of classical pieces that he liked, but then realized that that wasn't right. This gift was about Jim. So what would Jim want to listen to? Well, Spock knew what Jim liked to sing. He tended to hum under his breath on the way to class, and once Spock had even heard him warbling loudly in the shower. Jim frequently listened to musical soundtracks. He was particularly drawn to old Earth musicals, especially Les Miserables and Hamilton, and old Earth rock and roll music. With a strategy now in mind, the Vulcan logged onto his computer and began to do research. Mother, is Queen a desirable rock and roll music band to listen to? Amanda looked surprised on Spock's comm screen.
Queen? Oh yes, it's a classic. Why do you want to know, darling?
I am creating what is called a mixed tape for my friend Jim as a gift for Hanukkah. Amanda lit up.
Jim, a friend. You made a friend, sweetheart. That's wonderful. What's he like? Is he human? Is he in the science department with you? Is he handsome?
Mother, said Spock flatly.
Oh, sweetheart. You can't blame a mother for being curious. And I do expect to have grandchildren someday.
Mother! Spock's ears and cheeks warmed up.
Oh, all right. Yes, Queen is an excellent man. If your Jim has any taste at all, he'll love them. What other songs are you putting in your mixtape?
Well, I'm trying to convey a motive of friendship.
Huh. Does Jim like Disney movies?
Spock thought back to the time when he had mentioned to Jim that he had never watched a single Disney film. Apparently, this is an important matter to him, because Jim immediately dragged him off to his and McCoy's dorm room to have a Disney marathon.
Your mother's human, Jim exclaimed emphatically. She never showed you one Disney movie. You had no childhood.
I experienced biological youth the same way any other Vulcan child would.
Jim sighed. Just come with me.
Over the next several weeks, Jim showed Spock all the classics, according to him. They first viewed a movie about two dogs, one raised by a financially well-off couple, and one was a nomadic stray, who fall in love. This film's commentary on classism and economic segregation of the bourgeoisie versus the bohemians is rather fascinating, despite the unrealistic...
Shut up, Spock. The best part is coming up.
Spock watched the screen curiously. The dogs were eating from a plate of spaghetti. They accidentally ingested opposite ends of the same noodle, which resulted in their snouts touching. Spock supposed this was supposed to be evocative of a human kiss, even though Earth canines obviously did not kiss. The female pulled away demurely, and the male pushed a meatball toward her. Jim sighed fondly. Isn't it adorable? Those dogs will surely be ill. Tomatoes will be hazardous to their digestive... Jim hit him with a pillow. They watched several others, including Beauty and the Beast. I always identified with Belle, Jim said. She was a bookworm who longed for adventure and exploration, and so am I. After that came Cinderella. It is statistically unlikely that no woman in the entire territory would share her shoe size. Why does he not simply try to identify her by her facial features? She appears to be the only blonde woman in the kingdom, Spock commented, mystified. Then they watched a film called Atlantis, The Lost Empire. This movie is amazing, even though it was never very popular, Jim said. Plus, I think you and Gita's dad kind of sound alike, he told Spock. Spock raised an eyebrow. Really? How odd. And there were many others. Spock did not perhaps get the same enjoyment out of these films that Jim did, but what was truly important was that they were spending time together.
Yes, he does, Spock answered his mother.
Oh, then you might like this one song from this movie called Toy Story.
On the last day of term, as Jim was packing up to go back home to Iowa, he heard a knock at the door. Now, who could that be? He wondered, setting down the brand new pair of boots Bones had given him earlier that day. Jim opened the door and smiled immediately. Spock, come to say goodbye? Yes, I will be leaving for Vulcan shortly. But before I left, I wanted to give you your Hanukkah gift. Spock held out a computer cartridge. Oh, what's this? Jim looked at the chip curiously. It is what humans call a mixed tape. Jim lit up. You mean a mixtape? Oh, how sweet. I love it. But you have not listened to it yet, Spock said, confused. But it's from you, so I know I'll love it, Jim said. Thank you, Spock, for thinking of me. It was really sweet of you to make something so personal for me. Well, your gift to me was so considerate, Spock indicated to the dark green sweater that he was wearing again. And I wanted to return the kindness. Jim smiled at him adoringly. Hey, Jimmy boy, have you seen my... Bones ambled out of his and Jim's shared bathroom and caught sight of Jim and Spock standing together in the doorway. He barked with laughter. Uh-oh, Jim repeated. Look up, kiddo, Bones grinned mischievously. Jim and Spock's eyes flicked upward. A sprig of mistletoe was hanging just above their heads. Now who put that there? Jim said. I did, Bones said. Was hoping I'd catch some girl under it, but it looks like you two got caught instead. What is the significance of this vegetation? Spock asked. Don't worry about it, Spock, Jim said, his eyes shut and cheeks turning red. Just ignore him. Hey, you know the rules, Bones smirked at Spock. Better pucker up, Green Bean. Pucker up? What is he talking about? Spock asked. It's nothing, nothing. Jim insisted. Look, thank you for the tape. I'll see you when next term starts. All right, said Spock, still a little suspicious. Happy holidays, Jim. Jim smiled wistfully. Happy holidays, Spock. The Vulcan walked away, and Jim ripped down the mistletoe, shutting the door. Bone shook his head. Missed a golden opportunity there, Jimmy boy. Jim glared at him.
You didn't put that up for you. You put that up for me and Spock. Just call me Cupid, Bones grinned devilishly. Somebody had to try and get you two to make with the smoochies. Damn it, Bones, you're a med student, not a matchmaker. And for the last time, I do not have a crush on Spock. Yeah, tell that to someone who will believe that lie. Jim exhaled in frustration, plopping down on his bed. Look, even if I did have feelings for him, Spock would never like me back anyway. Oh, is that why he made you a mixtape? Bones waggled his eyebrows at him. Spock's not human. He probably doesn't know the significance behind this. Jim held out the cartridge. Oh, really? Well, maybe you should just give it a listen. Maybe it will give you an indication to how the hobgoblin feels about you. Fine, I will. But I'm putting on my headphones. Bones snickered, headed for the door. No need for that. I'll just leave you two alone. Jim threw a pillow at his head, but the closing door blocked it. Annoyed, Jim plugged the cartridge into the computer. Then he laid back on his bed, closed his eyes, and said, Computer, play the music files from the inserted tape. A second or so passed. Then the sound of a synthesizer, joined by a piano, started up. Freddie Mercury's smooth tenor sang. Jim slowly smiled. The other songs on the tape were like that. Lean on Me by Bill Weathers. Umbrella by Rihanna. I'll Be There for You by the Rembrandts. When You've Got a Friend in Me from Toy Story came on, Jim actually laughed, butterflies in his stomach.
Oh, Spock, he thought to himself dreamily. This is the best gift anyone's ever given me.
The end.
You got a friend in me. Some other folks might be a little bit smarter than I am, big and stronger too. Maybe